Hello, and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and this week we're talking about the Everton game on Monday night, and I'm joined by Mick McQuillan and Fáchan O'Donovan to talk about the day and a welcome 3 points at the end of it all. Hope you enjoy it. Michael, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I'm grand. I have Fáchan there.
Tony, I can hear you now.
Yeah, perfect, yeah. I'm just sitting here. I just noticed, actually, I have a blue Under Armour top and a blue Euro jacket on me. I'm just thinking of, it looks very like the stuff Mick was wearing on in Witherspoon's on Monday afternoon when you weren't threatened to throw him out.
It was a royal blue
Wolves top, but it was from the back. Yeah. She thought it was Everton and she came over. And she just looked when she saw the badge. I tried to tell her that he'd stuck the badge on, that it wasn't Everton top. She wouldn't listen anyway.
Mick, do you like his nails?
I do, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I'm thinking of doing them gold and black now for the next game, you know?
Now you're talking.
Yeah, get them going good, you know? So,
I've seen them all right, yeah. Enough said.
I'm taking a lightness to it, Mick, you know? I'm getting a light nail varnish now. Could be a winner.
I know.
Eyeshadow will be next.
Faulkner, you know what?
Yes.
I begin to worry when I see him wearing knickers.
He said he was wearing none the other night then in the hotel.
But that's because he was in the same room as Mick. It's the only thing that keep him quiet, you know.
I know.
Anyway, we shall leave it there, right?
Correct.
But I was gonna just for starting off, Fáchan, you had a long old journey over, yeah, and an early start on Monday morning.
Yeah, Jack and I were up early. We're up about 4:30, I'd say. It was, we flew out from Shannon.
Yeah.
Shannon to Birmingham. There was only maybe 30, 34 people on the flight. I think it was the first Shannon-Birmingham flight for, I don't know, in a few years. So,
yeah.
Maybe a lot of people weren't aware of it. So, we stayed in the Nova Hotel.
Yeah.
We were there about 10:30, I'd say. It was great. The room ready for us. I always loved the Nova location and friendly and there and whatever.
Yeah.
But they're doing a good deal. They were 25% off all drinks and food.
Yeah, you were saying that, yeah. That's a good deal, yeah. All right, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, we'd a grand flight over. You know, we were in plenty of time and got the train was a little bit late, but not too much. But we arrived then in Witherspoon's for a bit of grub first, and where Mick nearly got thrown out. Yeah, but it was, we did our usual. Well, Mick, we went down to the ground. I had to pick up tickets for Palace, down to the shop, gave Wolves more of her. Well, I was going to say, sorry, Mick gave them some of his hard-earned money. My money isn't hard-earned anymore.
No.
So,
it was great. At lunchtime, we met all the players. They had a team eating. And
yeah.
I showed you the pictures there.
We saw that, yeah.
Backup pictures with most of the players. And
That was in the Nova, was it?
That was in the Nova, Mick. Yeah, they were just having a meeting there, just in the back room, just near the reception area, we'll say.
The reason I just asked that, because Wolves always use it, you knew that yourself. But like Spurs were using it this year. They used it twice, maybe because Nuno was involved with them.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That's what I just wondered. I didn't know whether Wolves were back using the place or not, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Faulkner, just on the point that you know, that you met them at a meeting. I know it was a Monday night, a midweek game. But what time did they appear at? Just in case anyone was going over.
It was about 1:00.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 1:00. And after having their meal, Conor Cody, John Ruddy, Max Kilman, and Trincao, I never pronounced the name right, they went over to our left side and they were just having scones, a cup of coffee and tea. But Conor Cody was one likable fella. Like, he was going around to anyone that wanted a picture or having a little chat.
Yeah.
It was going across really well. They were all nice and relaxed.
That's great, yeah. So did you went into Witherspoon's for a pint or two before the game then, yeah?
Went into Witherspoon's, and then we went to the Billy Wright. That was strange. There was a karaoke on there.
Oh, yeah.
That's it surprised. Was so bad, it was funny. Yeah, up to Witherspoon's, had a few points there. Actually, I thought later on in the evening that she'd done it. So after the game, we went back to the hotel and just had a few drinks there. As I said, it was long. They were up since 4:30. So.
Yeah. It takes the edge off it all, right, yeah. Now, we went after the ground, we went down, or after, we were down getting tickets and the shop, we went down to the Leaping Wolf. Yeah, it was a good crowd. We had, I couldn't get Rasher to come on, you know, but he was with us, so we let him down to the Leaping Wolf, and he got Mick a lovely brandy and Coke.
Lovely.
tried to poison me.
Yeah, he tried to. It worse. He tried to convince Mick that it was lemonade, you know. So yeah, he didn't get very far.
Still drank it though.
you know, well, Mick. Mick managed to drink the brandy, and the coke was still left in the same glass. You know.
Bad man, Mick.
Stop.
I'll tell you about the breakfast in the Novo. There was a few lads from the north there. I think it was Noel. I can't think of Muse's names.
Noel and Jimmy.
Yeah, Noel. Yeah.
It was just a comedy of errors the following morning. Everyone was roaring laughing. It was a free for all inside the breakfast, the canteen. There was no cereal bowls, there was no bread. Cutlery was inside in the drawer. We all ended up giving out knives and forks to each other inside there.
It's mad.
It was mad. Jack normally gets some pancakes. They're homemade pancakes. Took about 15 minutes. When the girl brought them out, they're just like little pancakes that you get in the shop, you know, little packets of eight.
Yes.
And burnt to a cinder.
Yeah.
But in fairness, there's only one poor girl working inside her, so she's under pressure.
Yeah.
But it's like Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, that doesn't sound that sounds more like the old Britannia or one of those, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than Novotel, what you'd expect there, yeah. Yeah, so we were all well fueled up for the game anyway. So but getting on to the game anyway, I suppose starting with the first half performance, because I suppose we could take it in two halves because it was a game of two halves. Well, Faulkner, what do you think of the first half?
I thought Wolves played beautiful football, lads. Enjoyed the first half. But I knew at half time that, like, Wolves, as we all know, don't do anything easy.
Yeah.
So I knew they wouldn't be keeping the clean sheet, that something was going to happen. But in the last few minutes, you know, the crowd were getting edgy. And as Mick and I spoke later on, that, you know, that I was comfortable that to see the end line, you know.
Yeah.
When the crowd get a bit edgy, I'm sure it relates out to the players on the pitch.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, yeah. But the just saying that Mick, your view kind of on the first half, and I know we had a goal disallowed where the bloody VAR, where everyone's celebrating again, and nobody saw anything, you know, and then all of a sudden it's disallowed, and half went on.
Looking at the first half, you listen to a lot of fans on about this 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Okay. It's prehistoric in my opinion.
Yeah.
We had a team that lined up against us on the weekend, playing 4-4-2, and we destroyed them with the five in the middle, across the middle at them, ran from at the deep. And the big problem for Everton was that they were cutting through the centre of them, right at the centre of the defence.
Yeah.
They weren't able to handle it. And, you know, it was interesting that, you know, as it was always going to be changed after him, that he went and put Abraham, Fabian, Dev to play in front of the back two.
Yeah.
To show up. He changed his system. Because the system we were playing, for anybody keeps, to me, when I hear fellas said 4-4-2, I think back to England in the 66 World Cup.
Yeah.
Not many teams has won anything ever since playing that system. But it's prehistoric. But it was excellent first half. We have the likes of Neves and that. I think he's getting better and better at every game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He fights for balls. He's jumping with balls. He's not winning. He might win cleanly, but he's getting touches to them.
Yeah.
And he's stopping the opposition. He's doing the dirty work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you must give it then to Mancino. You know, again, fellas say he's finished. My Jesus, I wish, you know, more fellas were able to run around like he does.
But
overall, is it the first half? A back three, in my opinion, are superb.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a better back three in the Premier League. And I'm saying that. I'm not blowing calls. I think they're excellent.
Yeah.
You look at the two lads they have, Wyatt, Semedo, and Eight Newry. And I said this a good few weeks ago, Tony. Eight Newry eventually get into that team.
Yeah.
I rate that kid very, very highly. And on the other side, Semedo is a class act. And then you look in the middle, you have the two boys. What you call it? Neves and that.
Neves
and then you look up front and you have Jimenez, okay? And then you have Wang well able to perform. And if Trincao or whoever else goes in there, we have a fabulous side. We have an excellent side.
Yeah.
And I will go back to what's happened in a couple of weeks, that Villa 2-0 up, and we got a goal, and the crowd got nervous and got to the players. You know what I mean? And we've seen it when we give away a goal, people get nervous. But I don't think there's any need to be nervous with that team. I have a lot of trust, a lot of faith in them. And I thought it could have been 4, it could have been 5 at half time.
Yeah.
But typical Wolves, it wasn't.
I suppose when you think of it in the first half, we had the disallowed goal, then we had the great header. Like that deflated everyone for a couple of minutes. But and that didn't stop us. We got back on the attack. We got a corner, Kilman, a great header. Then we had the second goal. From, I mean, as we were saying on the way back, I mean, how Raul saw where that ball, he saw where that ball was going before the centre half did, and he ran went past him for a guy who's been kind of only getting back to normal in the last couple of weeks. The finish was excellent. But on top of that, we had two, we had the Trinkau shot and the Neves shot that were too well deflected and well saved. Like nine times out of ten, there would have been two more. So we could have been easily, I mean, three would have been a conservative estimate of what we could have had at halftime. Yeah. But then I suppose second half started and they came out, as you say, Delph was introduced and they came out a little bit more. Hell, I know you're saying like the crowd will always get edgy when we're back kind of, not back to the wall, but when we give the opposition the ball more than they had. What was your feelings then the second half as it wore on? Sorry, Faulkner, sorry.
Going back to Neves there, like, you know, I thought he took control from the first touch of the game. You know, he was chasing back, as Mike said, vital tackles. But, like, he was my man in the match. Again, Nouri, he's very impressive. Like, he's only 20 years of age.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we've two wing backs now. Like, they're both a real threat.
Yeah.
And I noticed that Nouri was sharing the corners with Chino. Do you know?
Yeah.
They were kind of big loft with a bit of power. Do you know?
Yeah.
A different element to Martinez's corner. But as the question you asked me the second half, do you know, we knew they were going to, Everton were going to go the first 15, 20 minutes and we could hold them.
Yeah.
That chance by Trinkau, all the, you know, it was brilliant football, but, you know, just the finish wasn't there.
Yeah.
I thought Atkinson, the referee, I thought he should have showed three yellow cards through the game. I thought they were blatant yellow cards.
Yeah.
I noticed Gareth Southgate was inside and not far away from us. I suppose with Tyrone Mings being dropped by Aston Villa, maybe the talk was to Max Kilman that was looking at him.
Yeah.
Again, what Nick said there about him and his, like, that was a world-class finish, lad.
Yeah.
You know, the composure to chip Pickford, like, nobody expected it. I don't think anyone in the crowd were expecting a shot left or right or going for power, maybe through the keeper's legs, but a lot of fellas do these, through the keeper's legs. Yeah. But no one expected that chip.
Yeah.
The keeper... Jose Sa, not great to pronounce the names, but like that was, I don't think Patricia would have saved that, saving the last few minutes. That was world class.
Yeah.
I think we've a top keeper in our hands.
Without a doubt, yeah.
But, you know, he's
We'll conveniently ignore his attempts at whatever he was trying to do, where he tried to dribble across the goal with the ball. That was a bit of a comedy.
Yeah, and not only that, but he did make a save later on in the game. Another, you know, it was just a kind of a routine save.
Yeah.
But I could see Cody even tell him to fall down. You know, go down, get your 30 seconds on the grass.
Yeah.
Like all the keepers would fall forward. The Trinkau, like, he kept running at Everton. Like, for all the save Pickford made in the first few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I do notice, I'd like your opinion, is Traore, you know, not getting on. I think now Wolves have quality in both sides of the pitch.
Yeah.
As opposed to putting everything through Adama.
But I think too, on that, I think Bruno seems to prefer playing the wingers on opposite sides, if you know what I mean. Like Wang is on the left and Trinkau is on the right, probably for cutting in or, you know, or giving defenders more to think about. The Traore thing's been on for a while now. I wonder, is Bruno trying to kind of look at other options, that if it does get to a stage where they want to sell Traore, that there's plenty of game time in the guys that are going to take over there, because
I don't think it's that, Tony. I just got back, you know, about his pick at the biggest team, Trianco. And if you look, there was a Sky, your man, what do you call it, Carragher, did a great on Jimenez's goal.
Yeah.
And he said this, you know, I don't know whether you've seen it, but he said this typifies the change Wolves have made this year. And it just showed as the move developed and as the ball was knocked out, it was Trinkau that went and made the first start to close it down.
Yeah.
And when Trinkau went over to close it down, Jimenez then was watching as well. So it was Trinkau to force a man to knock the ball back.
Yeah.
But Jimenez was waiting to pounce. What I'm saying to you, that's something that you won't see Traore doing.
No.
You know what I mean? No. He hasn't got the mental capability to think for long enough for that, see that happening. But Trinkau made a running and went for him. He forced a man back that way. And Jimenez was waiting, hoping. You know, you always... looking, yeah. And it happened. But he was probably a yard or two ahead of the defender, because I remember Stan Cullis once saying, as a defender, the first 2 yards is in the head. And he was thinking ahead of the defender.
Yeah.
But if the defender knew what was happening, he was in. But what a finish. That's class finish.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But on the winger team, what do you think of with Hwang, where he's playing? Is he kind of falling a bit of victim to Traore's habits of kind of giving the ball away a bit too easy, making the wrong option a pass, and he's not tracking. I watched him the other night. He ran maybe 10 yards when he lost the ball, and then, you know, broke into a trot and just kind of wasn't interested in chasing back, but was making it look like he was, you know. So, you know, he's only a few weeks really with us. Do you think Bruno will be working on him to get him to do more defensive work?
Yeah, I reckon that'll happen, but you can work with him, and he you know, the one good thing, that chap knows where the feckin' goal is. He's able to put the ball in the feckin' net.
Yeah.
That's number one. And number two, he certainly has done a bit more coming back than he was in previous games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
He certainly got Leeds. He was guilty. But in fairness to the Leeds game, Tony, that game was played at such pace throughout. He did tire in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you go back to what Faulkner says about Boy Ben. Like, Willie Bolly can't get in there.
No.
Providence can't get in there.
Yeah.
You know, we have a very, very good squad of players. And I listened to what Bruno said last week. I think it was very important, very informative. When he said was, a number of the players have surprised him.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he came in, he didn't rate a couple of the players highly.
Yeah.
But they've changed his mind. And that says to me that, you know, it might be only two players that he'll target.
Yeah.
In the thing, and to me, we don't need much more.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, really with players, like, you know, some of them will have their habits, and the new manager comes in, and the manager sees fairly quickly if they're willing to change and do what he wants to do, and he'll give them a chance, and if they don't, then it'll be out the door. You know, they're not his players anyway in the first place. So what do you think, Faulkner, on that?
I thought his link-up play with Jimenez in the first half especially was a joy to watch.
Yeah.
I think his nickname out in South Korea is Bull.
Yeah.
And you can see why, even, like, you know, going back to the hotel, just, you know, standing beside him, like, he's a big stature about him. But So I thought that Anthony Gordon, was that the Everton sub that came on the last few minutes?
The young lad, 24, yeah.
He did more in 5 minutes than a lot of players didn't
know
the match.
From the minute he hit the pitch, like, he was flying. He was a bit like that Gellhart for Leeds, you know? I mean, he maybe not as effective, but he certainly put the effort in when he came on.
He sure did and looked decent
though. Yeah. But just on the match kind of overall, I know we had our squeaky time near the end as usual, being Wolves supporters, we weren't well used to it. Who would you have said Faulkner was your man of the match?
Ruben Neves.
Yeah.
Ruben Neves. My God, like, if Cody wasn't the captain of Wolves, I think he'd be an ideal captain.
Yeah.
He's vice captain.
No,
he is, yeah.
He tackles there, he chased back and he harried, and he did a kind of a really keen, I think the very first tackle, he says, I'm in charge here, and, you know, took control of the midfield.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's getting better. As Mick said there, I think that he's expressing himself more with the new manager. Maybe it's just a different role, but watch his expressions on the field, even when they're warming up. He's got that kind of, I'm ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think himself and Moutinho, like, he's nearly, like, Neves nearly being the hard man now, and Moutinho is kind of snapping at the heels, like the old dog trying to, snapping away at the players without kind of going full belt into it, like, he kind of slows players down. Mick, who was your man in the match?
Well, I say Neves was, there's three or four of them there, you know, there was, I thought the standard was very, very good.
Yeah.
And again, I think an awful lot of stuff goes around Neves. Yeah, look, I was looking at a stat there that were saying that, you know, in the forward ends of the completed long range passes.
Yeah.
You know, the only one over 50 is Neves, and he's 70 long range passes completed. And when he picks a ball up, boy, Jesus, he can really send it into where he wants it.
Yeah.
And to me, when he was missing against, obviously, the previous game, And one of the games there, and fellas were saying the balls weren't going everywhere. I said, the reason was, Nevis wasn't playing. Because when playing, everybody, he's the man to go to with the ball, because they know he'll take it.
Yeah.
And but I think he's, look, I certainly would go with Faulkner there. I thought he was superb the other night, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's really, like, you know, everyone expects, you know, the 25-yard, 30-yard free kick or you know, shot into the top corner every game. But, look, I mean, what he's not given in goals, he's definitely, you know, I just watch him, and he's like a young Moutinho, because he never, I mean, he very rarely gives the ball away. You know, he has to be surrounded by four players before he loses that ball. He just seems to have a natural ability to hold on, turn, and to be able to see a pass.
Tony, at the moment. Yeah, I saw he's missing the ball, maybe a 30-yard wonder goal. Other than that, he's doing everything else.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I was quite happy with his free kick against Villa. I don't care how it goes in, you know. But anyway, yeah, so I mean, overall then, you know, well, it was a deserved 3 points, but could have easily dropped two of them with the corner and the Sass save near the end. But yeah, so things are looking good then for moving on. We have Palace coming up now on Saturday. What do you think of that?
I think that's going to be a very, very difficult game.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, the atmosphere at Palace will be fantastic, because it's one of those stadiums, and they're on a high. The thing is that we need to watch Saha, not because of... He is a fella who can get penalties for little or nothing. You know, and he can wind fellas up, which is saying, you know, and we need to get. Well, I think our lads are clever enough for that. You know what I mean?
I think when you said Saha, I was thinking of Vahar. You know, because Vahar is going to have a big say in it. I'd say he'll be going around dropping like a stone every time goes over the 18-yard line. You know, so it'd be interesting.
Yeah, he's after poorly, didn't he, Vieira? But he's playing a nice style of football now, Palace.
Yeah,
it's an old style stadium, and it'll be rocking.
Yeah,
Would you start the same 11 lads, or would you bring in Traore's? What's you thinking of that, or do you go for the same starting 11?
I would go with the same 11, it'll all depend on, you know, if any one of the players is suffering with tweaks, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he didn't play in Nevis. The reason was he was carrying a bit of a knock, and he didn't want to lose for 3 or 4 games.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he,
that Aidan O'Rae, he does give something, like, he's an aggressive player, he's fast going forward.
Yeah, yeah. I've noticed kind of in the Leeds game, he was, like, with probably 15 minutes to go, he was starting to kind of cramp up a little bit. And on Monday night, it was only kind of probably the last 5 minutes. So I was saying to Mick on the way home, he seems to have kind of, his match fitness, which was probably all he was lacking, it seemed to be picking right up now to 90 minutes, you know. So he's really improved. You say for 20 year old, like, he's looking great for the future, you know, and the present.
But he is a fantastic crosser of the ball and quite accurate, and he carries a right belt there with that ball. You know, he's a lot of strings to his bow, and then at times there it looks like the bloody ball is a magnet at his foot. Yeah. They can't get at him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he's not bad in the air either. I said last year, I rated a kid watching the ability he had. All he needed to do was to get a bit more strength, and that, thankfully, he's shown that now at the minute, you know. Yeah. And fair play to him, he got involved in the old push around on the he wasn't being pushed around. Remember the few incidents late in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, he had Soyuz on beside him, so
I was going to say that Soyuz is a great. I'd say for Aidan O'Rae to have behind him, basically. I know he's you know, left centre half, but like, it gives Aidan O'Rae more freedom to go up the pitch, having size.
But you know another thing too, which a lot of people might not have caught on. Both of them are French speaking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you go back to what you said earlier on about Cody with the keeper, Faulkner. I don't know if you see the game. I thought when he was messing around with the ball, and next he was talking to Soyuz, and he was saying to Soyuz, you should have dropped back. You could see, you should have come back to give me an angle. And Soyuz with his hand, and all, basically what he said, get rid of the fucking thing. I thought it was so funny. He wasn't having any of this. Get the fucking thing up the field.
Yeah, no excuses, no excuses.
No excuses.
Just to kind of wrap it up then, what are you expecting now of the Palace game on Saturday? Faulkner, I'll ask you first.
I'm looking for 3 points.
Yeah.
Same display again. I was just so impressed with the football. You know, I know we're going back to the first half, but you know, if they took their chances even one or two in the second half, that game should have been wrapped up long term before the final whistle. I'm looking forward to Saturday, and I think they're quite capable of beating Palace. Why not?
Yeah. Michael?
Well, look, I'm going anyway, and I'm hoping that we win. I have a good feeling that we could win it, but I take a draw. But I certainly were capable of winning the game, and that's the way I look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the one good thing about travelling away from home, the fans never stop. They're behind from the first whistle. And there's no such thing as fellas getting worried. They just get behind the team.
Bang on,
and you won't get nervous up at Palace with the fans behind them. You know?
Yeah. Maybe a minute to talk, just to talk about our former manager getting the boot. What do you think of that?
No one will always be special in my eyes, and I'm sure it's yourselves as well. There was one gentleman in the Nova on Saturday night, one season ticket holder, living in Croydon in Crystal Palace, and he spoke about doing it for 15, 20 minutes. Like he's met him on quite a few occasions.
Yeah.
But I don't know, will he get a job in the Premier again? Will he get a job in the Championship? Does he want it? I say he could end up back in Portal, maybe some team going forward like Braga or someone.
Yeah.
But he was good for Wolves, and he'll always be remembered. Do you know, he's like, I think he was 8 down the list, was he? That's what they say anyway. And the players, I don't think, the likes of Kane, you know, you must question these fellas. They're on too much money, and they play when they want to play. And, you know.
So. Michael.
Look at it. Neil Lowe will go down in history as one of the best managers Wolves had.
Yeah.
Apart from Stan Cullis.
Yeah.
A fantastic. We're over the Leeds Derby of the week, and the two Leeds fans were saying that the best scene they ever seen in the Championship, when they were in the Championship, was the Nunes team with the first year we came up.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we had a fantastic run. We finished seventh in the league. We got into Europe. Then next year we finished seventh. We also got to the quarterfinals of
the Europa
last
league,
year. Yeah. I put down, like, we lost Jota, we lost Doherty, and we lost Jimenez. Yeah. And them lads have scored over 40-odd goals between them.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that last year. And as well as that, we didn't have fans. And I was sorry to see him go, but look at me move on. And I wish him well. And I think he has the capability of managing one of the big clubs. I don't go along with all this being defensive. The problem up with Spurs was, with that defence, Nuno has come back from 2 down twice against them and beat them 3-2 in charge of us. And he certainly, the big worst decision he ever made, I thought, in my opinion, was to go and join in Spurs.
I think most people would have preferred to see him go back to Portugal or go onto the continent anyway and take a team there, because it probably tarnished his Wolves career by going to another English club. But as I say, we could talk about that all night. Anyway, listen, be great talking to you. Mick, safe trip over to Selhurst Park on Saturday, and hopefully bring back those 3 points. And thanks a million for joining us.
Best luck again Saturday, Mick. Have a good one. Thanks, Tony.
See you. Talk to you again.
See you, lads. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week, and you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.